Are you ready to go from burned out to blissed out? I'm Rebecca Whitman. I will share with you my 7 pillars of abundance and interview experts that will help you get all 7 areas of your life in alignment so that you can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Let's get into the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. I want to thank all our listeners for sharing this podcast. This is growing like crazy, and this is a grassroots movement showing people all over the world that you can be happy and successful without being completely exhausted and burned out. Today, we have a very special guest. Welcome to the show, Dr. Alan Leica.
Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to tell my audience about you. You have such an incredible story, which we're going to get into. So I'm going to let you tell the details, but I know that you suffered a near-death experience, and he is recovered from that to live a life that focuses on richness, appreciation, joy, and service. He is a full-time life-changing speaker, an acclaimed author, and a transformational leader. And he trains business groups all over the world, as well as life coaching individuals looking to overcome adversity and live their life with joy and gratitude. He is the co-author of the book, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life, with thought leader Jack Canfield, who's author of Chicken Soup of the Soul. And he has many successful radio shows, such as How to Live a Fantastic Life, Doc Fix That, Driving Biz. And these radio shows are in syndication and have millions of listeners every month. Welcome to the show, Dr. Leica. Am I saying it right? Is it Dr. Leica or Dr. Leica?
You nailed it. But okay, most people just call me Dr. Al. It's simpler for them.
We'll call you Dr. Al. So tell us, how did you go from being a world-renowned plastic surgeon? I mean, I was doing some research on you. You helped invent liposuction, you know? I mean, laser surgery, all these things that are just being done all over the world. You actually helped invent these procedures. How did you go from being the very top of your field to now being a transformational leader?
You know, creative people create a lot of things. And, you know, when I was in cosmetic surgery, I was very creative and did a lot of things. But, you know, in 2003, my life changed. I was walking in Disneyland with my wife and my youngest daughter. And my wife turned to me and she said, "What's wrong with you, hon?" I said, "What do you mean, what's wrong with me?" She said, "Listen to your foot. It's flapping." Ooh. I said, "What do you mean? What do you mean my foot's flapping?" She said, "Listen to it." Well, my right foot had suddenly and mysteriously developed a right foot drop. It was flapping on the pavement with each step I was taking. It was making an audible flapping sound. My wife said, "Did you have a stroke?" I said, "Dear, you're a doctor. I'm a doctor. If I had a stroke, I'd probably be lying on the pavement muttering something unintelligible." Well, she said the magic words then. She said, "Hun, when we get back, you better get it checked out." Rebecca, when your spouse tells you to get it checked out, what do?
You get it checked out.
You get it checked out. There's no doubt about it. Yeah, you get it checked. So I saw friends that were doctors. They didn't have the faintest clue what I had. They sent me to other doctors. They sent me to other doctors. They did CAT scans. They did brain scans. They even did scan scans. And you know what they found at the end of the day?
What?
Absolutely nothing. And you know what doctors do when they find absolutely nothing?
They give you drugs?
Well, some do, but the smart doctors do more tests and more tests and more tests. I think they even invented some tests just to do tests back then. But still, they came back at the end of the day showing absolutely nothing. So they got together in a group and they had a powwow and they said, oh, we're going to send him to a world-leading neurologist. Now, to you who don't know, a neurologist is the brain guy. He's got all the answers to all those complex questions. So I went to see him. I walked in. I said, hi. He said, hi back. You better be sitting down when I tell you this. I said, why? I've got a dropped right foot. He said, no, you don't. You have ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Get your affairs in order. You're going to be dead in 6 months.
Oh my gosh.
I said, how can you be so certain? Is there a way to prove this? He said, of course, on autopsy. This guy had the bedside manner of Dr. House on the old TV show.
Oh my God.
So I walked out. I slammed the door. I said, I'm not going to die to prove you wrong. And then I got to my car. Somehow I got there and I cried for hours.
Oh my God.
Somehow I made it home. And I talked to my wife. I said, this is what he told me. She said, he's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know what you have. But you don't have ALS. But you know, Rebecca, when you go through something like that, you go through the phases of death and dying that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote in her book on death and dying. They're anger. You become angry at the world. You could bite the head off nails. I was angry at my wife. I was angry at my children. I was angry at my dog. I was angry at my staff. But I couldn't tell them what was wrong. Otherwise, they might abandon me. Then you go through bargaining. Oh God, please don't let this happen. I'll do anything if you don't let this happen. But I didn't think God was listening to me back then. Then you go through denial. Now, denial does not refer to the river in Egypt. It means you deny things. And I denied I had anything wrong. But I had a dropped right foot, and then my right hand became not workable, and I was a right-handed surgeon. But you know, Rebecca, I was smart, so I figured out how to use my left hand, and I became a left-handed surgeon, and I could do anything with my left hand that my right hand could do. But you know, then you go through depression. Have you ever gone through depression, Rebecca?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the black days. It's when you can't sleep, you can't eat, you can stay in bed all day looking at the ceiling. Why? Why not? Because you're going to die anyhow. And you know, I wasn't going to die like people do with ALS, drowning in their own secretions. So I had a plan to kill myself. But
Wow.
before I went to do that, I went to see my wife and I said, dear, what do I have? She says, I don't have the faintest idea, but you're smart. You'll figure that out. I got mad. I said, how could I figure it out? I've seen thousands of doctors. She said something brilliant. She said, perhaps you haven't seen the right doctor yet. But back in the early 2000s, something new was invented. You might have heard about it. It's called the internet. You ever hear
Yeah.
about
Yes,
that?
absolutely.
Well, back then, it was primitive. You had to get on by dial-on connections. You had to put your phone in a cradle and it would go ree-ah, ree-ah, ree-ah for 15 minutes. And if it connected, and I say if, because 50% of the time it didn't, you got to the other side. But then you had to communicate with DOS because there was no memory in computers. And you know, back then, the internet was like it was now. It's like the world's best library, but it's full of garbage cans. And you can't tell the garbage cans from the great resources. So I had friends that helped me surf the web. And I found a doctor in Colorado Springs, Colorado, by the name of David Martz. And David had a disease very similar to mine, but he got worse much more rapidly. And within weeks, he was on his deathbed. Now, David was so beloved by so many people. Doctors from around the world were coming to say goodbye to David. And a doctor came up from Texas, a Dr. William Harvey, and he looked at David and said, David, I don't think you have ALS. David whispered, because that's all he could do. He said, what do I have? The doctor from Texas said, "I think you have chronic Lyme's disease. I think you've been bitten by a tick, and it's mimicking ALS." And he said, "If I'm right, I can start you on medications and you will get better." So he
Wow.
did. And David was like Lazarus arising from the dead. Within 2 weeks, he was back to normal. So I knew I had to get in touch with David. I phoned every hospital in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I met up with him at the Methodist Hospital. And we talked for hours. He said, "Can you come down to see me, Dr. Leica?" I sure said, "Sure, when?" He said, "Right now." I said, "David, it's Thanksgiving in Canada. My wife's invited 15 people over. She'll kill me." He said, "Aren't there any planes in Canada?" So I went to my wife, my hat in my hand, and I said, "I'm not going to be here for Thanksgiving." She said, "Why? You know, we've got 15 people coming over." I said, "Well, there's a doctor in Colorado Springs that claims he can help me." She said, "Well, what are you waiting for? I'll pack your bags for you. You're wasting time. Let's get to the airport." So I got on a beautiful flight from Edmonton to Colorado from Denver, and it was a great flight, 3 hours long. Then I got on a plane from Denver to Colorado Springs, a 15-minute flight, but it's a rinky-dink puddle jumper. Have you ever been on a rinky-dink puddle
Oh
jumper?
yeah. Oh yeah, all the time.
Well, this one's particularly bad because it's flying at the end of the day, and the wind is coming off the desert, causing turbulence. So your plane will fly along and drop 100 feet without warning. It'll climb back up and then drop another 200 feet. It'll climb another back up and then drop 300 feet. It's like the drop of doom at Disney World over and over and over again. So everybody who got off that plane was green and crawled off. And I crawled off onto the tarmac, and there was David to meet me. He said, "Dr. Leica, you don't look so good." I said, "David, I don't feel so good." He said, "Well, this is probably a metaphor for what's going on to your life." And we went and talked for hours, and he said some magic words. He said, "I think history is repeating itself. I can start you on treatment, and I'm sure you'll get rapidly better." And that's why I'm here to this day, living, breathing, and doing things. But you know, when you go through something like that, Rebecca, you can be hard and mean, or you can see the other side. You can find the joy in everything you do. To me, every day is a fantastic day. It's a day I shouldn't have had. It's a day I live, I love. I give back because it's something I can do. Whereas before, I was immersed in my work, doing great work, but I didn't see the whole picture. And sometimes you got to be hit in the 2x4, in the head with a 2x4 to see the whole picture. This is my 2x4 that allowed me to see the daylight.
So, what were you doing when you were a plastic surgeon differently than how you live your life now? Like, share with me
I
some of
was immersed in my work.
the
I was immersed in my work. I
philosophy.
was totally immersed. I didn't give back to charity. I didn't do the things that I do now. I didn't do all the things that I see 24/7. You know, there's one thing that people do that are great plastic surgeons, and they work. They work doing it 24/7. And that's what I did for 30 years.
So your health obviously suffered because you almost died. So what measures do you have in place now to take care of your health so that you don't get sick again?
You know, every day I wake up, I meditate, I take care of myself. I do, and every day I try to do something for others. I try to do something big or small for others. And I also take time for myself. You know, I always exercise. I always get 5 to 10,000 steps in every day.
Great. What changes did you make in your diet? Like, how do you eat differently now?
I was pretty much a person that would eat anything I wanted to anytime. And if you're working as hard as I did, you didn't have time to eat well. You didn't have time to eat vegetables. You didn't have time to take the time to eat a proper diet. You'd gulp something down and get on with your job. That's the type of life that most doctors live because they're so immersed in it. It's hard to work the life that a doctor does. And you're like on a treadmill.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. So, what is your diet now?
I eat all the food groups. I try to eat the colors of the rainbow every day. I try to eat healthy. I try to do good things for myself. So I eat a balanced diet, There's something called the Canada Food Guide, which tells you what you should eat, and I try to follow it to a T.
That's great. I'm sure it's different than our food guide because we're not as healthy down here. Your downstairs neighbor
Well,
is not as healthy.
I read a lot about the American population, and there's actually two groups of people. There's some groups, the upper group, that eats very well. Then there's the
Right, which
lower
would
group
be my group. We're,
That eats fried foods and all the other things, drinks too much, eats too much, is grossly overweight, but it's two separate groups of people that live and breathe in the United States.
That is so true. So what is the fantastic life mean that you describe in your best-selling book? Tell us about that.
In my book, I talk about the 13 golden pearls that I've discovered. Now, a pearl is a rather unique thing in nature, Rebecca. It forms because a little grain of sand gets inside of an oyster and it gets walled off. And then instead of destroying the oyster, the oyster coats it with this amazing material called luster. Now, golden pearls actually exist. They exist in the South Pacific, but they're rare. And a single solitary golden pearl costs upwards of $10,000. So that's how beautiful they are. But they start from trauma. And that's the beauty of it. Trauma causes a beautiful pearl to be birthed.
That is very true, and I really believe that people find their blessing in their mess. And like you said, when you shared your story, sometimes God has to get our attention by hitting us over the head by a 2x4, and we get to learn valuable lessons that we could not have learned any other way. So what are some of the 13 pearls of
Well,
wisdom that you share in your
let me
book?
start about the first one, love. And each one of my chapters starts with a little story. And the story of love is about a little girl. There once was an old man who lived with a little girl. His wife had died many years earlier, so he had to raise this girl by himself. Now, this girl was always happy. She'd never walked. She skipped everywhere she went. The world was her oyster. She really made everybody happy who ever saw her. Now, one day, the old man got mad. He found the little girl wrapping an empty box with expensive wrapping paper. Now, money was tight, but so he didn't think it was the right thing to do. So he yelled at her. But still, Christmas arrived, and he got a box under the tree that had wrapping paper on it. He opened it, and there was nothing inside. He became very mad and yelled at the girl. The girl cried and said, "But Dad, the box isn't empty. I blew kisses in it for you." A short time later, the girl died in a tragic car accident. The guy was beside himself, but he kept the box under his bed, and he got fairly lonely. He'd take the box out. He'd hear his little girl giggle. He'd feel the little girl on his.
Do you want to know my biggest and best beauty secret? It is liquid collagen. I started drinking liquid collagen 3.5 years ago, and I am totally obsessed. I have never looked younger, fitter, leaner, stronger. My skin is glowing. My hair is thick and shiny. Eyebrows, eyelashes, nails, they're all growing, and I feel like I'm aging backwards. If you really want to know a huge hack to be balanced, beautiful, and abundant, you got to try this collagen. It is amazing. If you go to the show notes, you will get a $10 off coupon. If you buy 2 bottles, it's $25 off. And there's 2 versions. There's one for anti-aging and overall health, and there's another formula for fat loss. Both formulas are amazing. They taste great, and it's so easy to take. You just take a spoonful in the morning and a spoonful at night and just add it to your regimen. This stuff is off the charts. So make sure you go to the link in the show notes and grab yourself a couple bottles and tell me how much you love aging backwards. Thanks for watching the show, and we'll be back to our regular content now.
Lap. He'd feel kisses from the little girl. A little while later, he died and went to heaven. And in heaven, Saint Peter was at the pearly gates and said, "You must give me something. I can't let anybody in here." So he gave him the box. And Saint Peter said, "Enter. You have given me the gift of pure love."
Oh my gosh.
Now,
Beautiful.
when he
You
entered,
made that story up.
it's a traditional story, but it has a couple of other meanings. When
Wow.
he entered, he met the little girl, and he said to her, "You know, I missed you." And she said, "Why? I was always with you. When I died, God made me into an angel. When you opened the box, I giggled for you. I kissed you, and I sat on your lap." This is the story of eternal love. Love is always there.
So beautiful. Wow. That is quite a story. That really made my day. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, I hope it makes everybody's day. And with it comes a challenge. I want everybody to extend the gift of love to somebody else today. I want them to do something for somebody else that they wouldn't regularly do. I want them, when they're in the coffee line at Starbucks, to buy coffee for the next person in line. I
Yes.
want them to bake some cookies and give them to their neighbor. I want them to say a cheery hi to their neighbor and have a conversation with them. I want them to help others. Give something to charity today that you wouldn't otherwise do. You know, in Los Angeles, there's thousands of people starving today. You
Yeah.
know, in the one of the wealthiest cities in the world.
Yeah, that is for sure. That is, well, you heard it here, guys. Do something kind for someone, even if it's just a compliment. I mean, I love giving a stranger a sincere compliment because you just see their whole face light up and everything, their energy changes.
Well, exactly. Picture you're in the grocery store and there's somebody behind you hurried and talk to them. Just say, "Gee, I like your hair. I like your nails. I like your shoes."
Anything, yeah.
You know, something. Pick them up.
I feel like if we leave everybody in a better space than when we found them, whether it's someone in line at the grocery store or someone in an elevator, that is kind of doing our role here on planet Earth. I feel like our role here is truly love and service.
And you see, that's something I learned as I stepped more away from cosmetic surgery, that you can do a lot of good and a lot of helping people. That's probably why my show has grown to over 7 million people a month now, because So many people need a pickup in this day and age. I don't know if you notice, Rebecca, but the world's in a terrible funk right now.
Oh,
And
yeah.
it's not just in the United States, it's around the globe.
People are definitely feeling the negativity and the heaviness of the world, which is why shows like this and your radio show are so essential now to lift people's spirits up. Tell me more about your radio show. What is it called, and where can people hear it, and why do you think it's been so successful? 7 million listeners a month is just outrageously successful.
Well, you know, it used to be called How to Live a Fantastic Life. Apple redrafted it about a month ago called Live with the Famous Dr. L. And I said, "What do you mean, famous Dr. L?" And they said, "Well, you've got 7 million listeners a month. You are famous." And I said, "I guess so." But it's available on the Brushwood Media app. Brushwood is my business partner, and he has a number of channels on there. And you can hear me on the Brushwood Media app in 13 different languages, including Swahili, if you'd like. So you can listen in the language of your choice. Or you can go to the Apple platforms and check me out there. It's on iTunes, it's on all the Apple platforms. And once it goes on the radio, then it lives as a podcast on Apple's podcast thing. So it's everywhere.
And I'm going to be on this show Monday, correct?
You are, and then you will live forever too.
Oh my God. Well, you couldn't perform lipo on me, but at least you can make me immortal on the radio.
Well, you see, we're going to make you shine. We're going to make your beautiful smile shine.
I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. So what is the most important lesson you learned from getting the incorrect diagnosis of ALS?
First of all, it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens. You know, everybody listening on this show has crap happening to them. Everybody on this show has something that has happened to their past that they have to live down. But you know, if you look at things in the proper way, if you look at these things as a challenge, if you look at these as an opportunity, you will grow.
So true. And also, just to keep, not to take one person's opinion as the gospel, because doctors, although they're very well educated, they're still human and there's still room for human error. And had you not gotten several other opinions, you wouldn't be here doing this interview with me right here, right now. So I think it's so important to get. How many opinions do you think somebody should get if they get a terminal diagnosis?
You know, it's sad, but you know, for very rare things, people need hundreds of opinions because people won't find it. You know, when I was diagnosed with chronic Lyme's disease wasn't even thought of as a diagnosis. It wasn't even thought as something that was there. So, and even now, many doctors do not know that diagnosis and do not know what it does and looks like. So you have to fall into the right camp of people that are aware of the diagnosis. You know, I've always said that medical diagnosis is like five blind men looking at an elephant. Now they're blind. So they touch the elephant's trunk and say, "Oh, the elephant's like this." Or they'll touch its leg and say, "The elephant's like this." Or they'll touch its body and say, "It's like this." Or they'll touch its tail and say, "It's like this." But remember, they're blind, so they can't see the whole elephant. And that's what it often like is like in medicine. You know, diseases don't jump up and down and say, "I'm X or I'm Y." It really takes a talented doctor to try and put all the pieces together.
That is very true. Well, I'm just so glad that you got so many opinions and, got the help that you needed. Did you even remember being bitten by a tick that would have caused this Lyme
You know,
disease?
I lived in a endemic area for Lyme's disease. I was living in Minneapolis where Lyme's disease was very high. And we also went to Wisconsin a lot to vacation. And Wisconsin is another area where Lyme's disease is very high. So no, I didn't remember getting bitten by a tick. But there were several blood tests that were done after I was diagnosed, and to get me diagnosed, and all of them showed that the tick had been there. So that is really what's important in all this, is that you don't always get all the things there telling you that something had happened. You often have to bit together all those pieces.
So now, do you wear bug spray when you go to those parts of the world that have ticks, or you just
I try to stay out of the woods. The woods are taken off my menu in those areas.
Okay, that's good. So why is enthusiasm so important to living a fantastic life? What does enthusiasm mean to you?
Let's talk about enthusiasm. I'm going to tell you a little story.
Okay, great.
There was a carpenter, and his name was Fred, and he had worked for the same company for 35 years, and he was tired. His enthusiasm was no longer there. So he went to the boss, threw the keys on the desk, and said, "Boss, I'm done." The boss was taken aback. He said, "Fred, you've been my master carpenter for 35 years." He said, "But Fred, can you just do one more thing for me? Just one more." Fred said, "Of course, I've loved working here. This is the only job I've ever had." So the boss said, "Can you build me just one more house? Just one more? Only you can do it. You're my master carpenter." Fred said, "Sure." But his heart was not into it. He dragged his ass to work every day. He made cruddy workmanship for the first time in his life. And he barely got the job done. But a miracle happened. The house passed inspection. So he went back to the boss, threw the keys on the desk, and said, "Okay, I'm out of here." The boss said, "Hold it, Fred. We've been waiting for this day." He said, "We're going to pop the champagne. We're going to have caviar. We have a party planned. Everybody, get the big cake." And they had this massive party. And then at the end of the party, he said, "Fred, I'm going to be sad. This is your last day, but I know you're going to be happy." And he said, "As a token of my appreciation, here's the keys to the last house you've ever built."
Oh, he had to live in the shoddy house, huh?
Now, this is why enthusiasm is so important, Rebecca. Enthusiasm is what's important every day, because you never know what's going to happen. If you bring your A game, if you bring your enthusiasm, that makes a difference each and every day. So you need to bring that enthusiasm every day.
That is a powerful story. And if you break down the word, it means infusing spirit, God, whatever you call it, into your day. So enthusiasm. I am
Absolutely.
enthused. That's a great story. So how do you balance now? Now that this is a show about cultivating a balanced life, now that you've had your near-death experience and you've come back, I know you've been married 43 years, you have seven grandchildren,
Actually, eight now. Eight
now you
now.
have
And
eight
our eighth one
grandchildren.
is going to be over at 5 o'clock today, and we're going to take care of him because his mother's going to be a little late from work. So this is how we
How do you
balance things.
balance your career, all your speaking engagements, your travel with your ever growing family, your long-term marriage? Tell us,
Well, you know,
and your health.
you got to plan times. You got to plan times around things. And you need a list of non-negotiables. You need the most important things always at the top of your list. Family time is always the most important. So today I shut the clock down at 5 o'clock, and that's it. We're going to have family time then. Tomorrow, again, noon on Fridays, I'm off for the weekend. We have a cabin at a lake out here, and we spend as much time as we can there during the summer months. So it's a beautiful time. We've had all of our grandchildren there during the summer with us, giving their parents a bit of a break while we were doing things, and they've enjoyed it immensely, you know? So it's always a fun time that we can do all this. Still, I make time for work. I make time for travel. I make time for speaking. I go around the world speaking. In a couple of weeks, I'll be in Memphis. Next month, I'll be in North Dakota. Then I'm going to be in Reno, Nevada. So I've got a lot of speaking to do.
So you have your priorities, your non-negotiables, family, you're working out, which is walking, eating healthy, and then everything else goes around that, and you have clear boundaries. Like you're working today at 5. After that, it's family time with your grandchild. That is what I'm hearing you say. So if you guys are listening to Dr. Leica, who is a world-renowned plastic surgeon now, a world-renowned keynote speaker. This is how he is achieving balance. So, what accomplishment out of all your many accomplishments, inventing liposuction and laser cosmetic surgery and speaking on stages, being a best-selling author, what accomplishment are you most proud of in your very successful life?
My wife, my four daughters, and my eight grandchildren.
And why are you most proud of them?
Oh, you know, my grandchildren are going to carry things far into far different fields than I ever will. My daughters are uniquely successful in their own right. My wife is amazing for putting up with me for 43 years.
And your wife is a physician too?
Yes, she is. So right now, she does telemedicine. She shut down her practice a couple of years ago. She says she was a retirement failure, so she went back and now does telemedicine rather than run an office now.
And what is a se what is give us one marriage secret to being happily married for 43 years?
You know, realizing that there's not much that you need to die for, you know, that there's give and take in everything.
So the art of compromise.
Yep.
I like this saying, don't sweat the small stuff. And it's or yeah, and it's all small stuff. So
Absolutely.
nothing is worth
Absolutely.
jeopardizing the relationship over.
That's right.
If you had a billboard on the side of the road and it could say one sentence that summarizes your best advice, what would that one sentence say?
Well, I think it's in my book. It's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens.
There you go. How can people stay in touch with you, Dr. Leica, or Dr. Al, as you like to be called?
Well, if you would like me to be a professional speaker for you, for your business or your office, go to my website, Dr. Al Speaks, DRALSpeaks.com. And if you would like to find out more about me and my other things, go to DrAllenLeica.com. That's DRALLEN Leica, LYCKA.com. Love to talk to you. Thank you for letting me be here, Rebecca.
Thank you. And if people want to tune in live to my interview Monday on your show, are they able to listen to it on live radio or is it pre-recorded?
It's pre-recorded. It'll come out about a month after we record because we always have to edit.
Yeah.
And what's going to come out is you'll be able to tell everybody when it's coming out that is in your family. So you'll be able to tell them when that's going to be playing.
Well, I really appreciate your wisdom, your enthusiasm and joie de vivre. It is palpable. I really can feel that you appreciate just every minute here on earth as like bonus time, which it really is for all of us. Like every day on earth is just a precious gift and a blessing, and we're not promised tomorrow. So thank you everyone for tuning in to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Keep those 5-star reviews and subscriptions coming in. keep spreading the word that you don't have to live life exhausted and drained. You can get everything you want while maintaining balance and happiness. Thanks again, Dr. Laika, and thank you, listeners, for going on this journey with us. And we'll see you next time with another incredible guest. Until then, keep your vibe high and magnetize. Bye, everyone. Wow, what an amazing show. I got so much value out of that, and I hope you did too. I would love to help you get unstuck. Which of the seven key areas of life do you feel blocked in? Maybe you are stuck in your love life and can't manifest your soulmate. Maybe you just can't lose that last 10 pounds. Maybe you are burned out and want to get out of your job and create a six-figure side hustle. I have great news for you. I am offering 3 complimentary breakthrough calls this week for the women and the men that are ready to get unstuck. This is a free 45-minute coaching call that I am offering to my listeners. Just go to the link in the show notes. And for those of you ready to really have the time of your life and end 2024 on an incredible note, you will want to learn more about the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, October 3rd through 6th in Belize City, Central America. Not only will you learn how to get all 7 areas of your life to a level 10 to end the year with momentum, but you will enjoy pampering in a luxury spa with healthy food, yoga, and sound bath. We will be having an incredible time on the beach, in the pool, walking around the beautiful city. It's in a private island, and it's just something that will be the best decision you ever made. I can't wait to spend a weekend with you in Belize City, Central America, on a private island. So if you're looking for more information on the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Retreat, make sure you go to my link in the show notes. And for everybody else, thank you so much for supporting the show. We love our listeners, your reviews, your subscriptions, sharing this podcast with your friends and family is really getting the word out there that you do not have to go through life burned out. You can be balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Make sure you tune in next week, and we'll see you soon. Bye.